Well, so good to be back at Integrity. I'm blessed to have my wife Susan here with me once again, and we traveled a long way to get here. And when your pastor asked if I would do it, I jumped at it because I want to support him. I think he's one heck of a guy. And to know him from his earliest days and his mom and dad and to see what the Lord has done is just such an encouragement for this old man, to see the young coming up, the generations, because I am a generational thinker. I think about the generations to come. I'm very, very in tune with the generations. People say I have an intergenerational ministry because I could speak to the little ones. I love the little ones. I love the teenagers that come out of their caves three times a day, eat and grunt and go back in their caves. I like them. So for me to see Tony and see what the Lord has done with him is just such an encouragement to me. And any time I could be of service to that young man, I want to be. May he be blessed with his bride and boys on his vacation and come back fired up to bring the word and the love of Christ to you all. This is a... it's been a hot weekend on the island. I don't know how long the hot has been here, but it's quite something to experience the heat of the summer. So the message that I'm bringing you today is about the heat of the summer. It's the heat that comes to us through the challenge of life. And you know, it was interesting. Susan and I got here early this morning. We sat in pastor's office, and the heat was on in the office for a good 20 minutes. And I was getting the message. Okay, God, I got the message, you know. By the time I started to sweat, they came in and said, oh, the heat's on. So the heat is on, you know, the world, the heat's on. And there's an intensity that's about us in these days that Paul would say, writing to Timothy, that these are perilous times. They're challenging times for humanity. They're challenging times for every one of us to stay cool, to be able to manipulate the intensity of the heat that's brought about us by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about sunscreen. Sunscreen. I'm talking about S-O-N, screen. We are in the intensity of life that as we move closer and closer to God's coming for us, the world is going to get more intensely hot. And for us as Christians, you know, we pray to God that we're lifted up by the rapture or else we're facing a tribulation, an intensity that it will be brought about by the rulership of the enemy over the earth. And my prayer is that we would be lifted out as a church. But, you know, my prayer is that everyone in this room is lifted out. But I can't guarantee everyone is lifted out. I don't know whether you're playing games or how real you are within your heart and your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, but if you think you're facing tough times now, or you might call them tribulation, if you're here and we're gone, it's going to even get worse. So, I mean, if you could deal with Christ in the midst of tribulation now, that's a good thing. If you could deal with Christ in the heat that is now placed upon your life, the difficulties that are in your life today, and we all face different challenges, and we need Jesus so desperately. I love that they opened up singing this morning in worship to come into your presence because of your love. It's in the presence of Christ. It's when Christ dwells within you, when you walk in Christ from the rising of the sun until it's going down, till your mindset is Christ-like. And we're being changed, and our purpose in being born is to be transformed and conformed into the image of Christ. Not that you have a long beard and you walk in sandals, but you become extraordinary because of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person in the Blessed Trinity, living in you. And that you will become a witness for Christ, an ambassador for God. The presence of God is in you. So that when you walk into a place or you're dealing with the heat, there's always a cool about you because the Holy Spirit of God is with you. David said in Psalm 73, verse 16, he wrote that when he was pondering, verse 16 of Psalm 73, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. He was trying to figure out some things. Intensity of the moment. He was trying to figure out what was going on in his life. He said, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. And then I perceived their end. When you get into the presence of God, you get a great understanding of life. The beauty that here at Integrity and in the church is that you come in and we sing songs of worship unto the Lord. That's not because we need we want to develop a choral group. It's because you should have a song in your heart every day. Every day you should be able to sing for the glory of the Lord. My brother who walks his dog, he's got a song in his heart. That's a song to be able to spot the Creator and the beauty of his creation. There's a melody that's uplifting to the glory of God. That's why the ark had a window on the top. Even in the midst of the storm, they were continually looking up. You know, we would be able to understand the beauty of worship and understand the beauty of his presence with us on a continual basis. We'll perceive things differently. It speaks in Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5, it says this. One thing I have asked from the Lord, this is David, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'll sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. When, you know, the presence of the Lord lifts us above the heat of the moment. And God wants to bring us into that place of being refreshed even in the midst of the heat, finding that place of refreshment in God. The book of Acts, it speaks to repent and therefore return, that your sins might be wiped away in order that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Do you understand the beauty of the presence of the Lord? You know, when you're right, You just feel right within yourself. You feel like you're living in truth, that integrity is in you, that the life you live in the dark is the life you live in the light, that God is pleased with you and he dwells within you in this temple. We want to be people who can deal with the heat of the moment. I would like to be someone who can deal with the heat wave of the world. I'd like to be someone that can deal with the heat of the city. I remember when I was young and I was a rock and roller, a song I used to sing, hot down summer in the city, the back of my neck get dirty and gritty. You know, shoot down, isn't it a pity? You know, the heat that comes especially from the city is so intense. The Lord wants us to be the restorers of the breach, the repairer of the cities. He wants us to have a heart for the people of the city. Pastor Tony now pastors in the hood. I'm in the middle of the hood in Rochester, New York. I'm where darkness invaded a community. And we have seen the light of Christ just break in, and powerful experiences with God have occurred in our community. But I want to tell you, the heat of the city is something else. You know, I remember growing up, it's amazing to me. I grew up in the Bronx and a three-room apartment. We had no air conditioning. I mean, when it really got hot, I stayed out on the fire escape, you know, and above the garbage cans. And, you know, my mother would bring out watermelon. I'd sit on the fire escape and the heat of the city. And I think, you know, when I look around at the people that, you know, I'm in the office a little bit, 20 minutes sweaty, and I want to moan and groan. I got people living in the city in the heat of the city, the heat of the moment. And they're angry, frustrated. It's the melting pot from all diversity is in the city. All different kinds of people. Poverty like you've never seen. Hot down. It's summer in the city. And they're looking for the refreshment of God. And we could be the people of Long Island or the people of the Penfield where I am. And we could be out there and pointing fingers at them. But we need to be the restorers of the breach. We need to be praying for our cities. We need to be able to minister with the attitude of Christ to the city. God has broken down the barrier of racism in my heart, my mentality. He had to deal with my Italian background. He had to strip me away from what I thought was, you know, it was only Italians that lived in the world, you know. And there was the only way to eat was the Italians' way, you know. It was like, give me a break, you know. I just went to a Nigerian wedding with one of the guys in my church. They were dressed up in colorful food. I ate goat. You know, it's like, what the heck? It's like, God, you're making me a man for all seasons, a man for all people. But that's the Jesus. That's the Jesus. You know, we have an element that keeps us to ourselves, you know, and we think, oh, no, I have no problems with others until, you know, you're face to face. When you have to sit with and mingle together, God, you better get used to mingling, because heaven's a place of mingling with all nations, all tribes, all tongues. You look at the book of Revelation, you see that surrounding the throne is diversity. It isn't for us to judge them or what are they doing here. This is just for us. You know, we have this attitude in our hearts. God wants to break that down so you become a warrior for the city. A warrior for the people and the souls of the city. That there's no barriers in your heart and attitude in your heart that you're better than them. You know, you'll be on the line in heaven one day. And the line in heaven, you'll be standing there and there'll be diversity behind you. And you'll look around and go, well, what are you doing on this line? And the thing will open up and you'll go, fuck, you'll be gone. You know, your attitude is going to, I mean, you're going to have to deal with it somewhere, somehow. You know, the remarks that you say, the belittling that you say, the way, you think you're okay, but in your heart, you know, and Pastor, you know, in all honesty, we have a diverse church, 60-40, black, Hispanic, Cambodian. We have all nations. But when I got there, there were 100 white folk in the church. And they were praying for 18 years for their community. The pastor was 81 and he died. And they were prayer warriors for the city. So when I came in, they were like, hey, pastor, we've tried everything in this city. Why don't we move to the suburbs? You know, and I said, give me a chance to see what God would do. Give me a chance. Give me 1 year. If you don't see growth, well, all of a sudden, the heart of God that allowed me the privilege of having his father heart. I want a father. I want to father all of them. The kids, all the generations, black, white, yellow, green, it don't make a difference, people. And we opened the doors wide. And the community began to come in. And the people who had prayed for 18 years now came to my office and said, they're not dressing right. And you know, I think she's stoned. I said, you've been praying for 18 years for these people to come into the place. You come into the place, and now everybody's bothered by everybody. And then they started robbing pocketbooks. And that caused an uproar. And I said, the church is for sinners to come into the church. Amen. Oh, when they come in, they're all messed up. They're all screwed up. I don't know about you. I was all screwed up when I first came to Christ. So they come in. Now, you can't, like, you had a club before, and nobody would ever rob your pocketbook because it was a club. You know what I mean? You had a nice club. You had your lockers. You put your bag in it, and it was like a club. Now, you got all kinds of people. The streets are coming in, invading the church. And now, hold on to your pocketbook. Don't let your pocketbook go. And eventually they'll realize, well, we don't take pocketbooks. We don't have to take pocketbooks. But the heat of the city, the heart of God that he's given me is to understand what people are going through in the city. The heat that comes out. And the Lord gave me the scripture. I want to take you there. Luke 7. Let's look at the heart of the master and the attitude of the master in the city. He came to bring peace. He said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God is calling us to be a people of peace. We sang that so beautifully this morning. Not hostile, not critical, not condemning, but to bring life. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now listen to this story. It came about soon afterwards that he, being Jesus, went to a city called Nain. His disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Jesus is walking into the city with a crowd. Disciples, he's got a gang of people with him. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. The only son of his mother. She was a widow. A sizable crowd from the city was with her. We got one city, one crowd coming out of the city with a dead man, because the city usually exports death. And we have one crowd moving into the city, and life is in the middle of that crowd. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. He said to her, do not weep. He came up and he touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to the mother. And fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited the people. Death coming out of the city, life going into the city. Life interrupts the crowd with death. Life speaks to it, and life comes back. And there's no greater thrill than to give a child back to a mother alive. Spiritually, emotionally, physically would be pretty amazing. But the heart of Jesus was that he stopped the death procession, and he wasn't afraid of it. Even though there was a large crowd, he spoke to it and life came forth. That's the way we need to have a heart for the city that's filled with a place of intensity, a place of intense heat. We are the restorers of the streets in which we dwell. Now, it can be in Yapank. It can be wherever the Lord would lead you. But the church needs to impact the world. It needs to impact cultures and different dimensions of how we do certain things, how we approach, how open are we to change. I mean, when we had I got there, and after a while, I saw what was going on with our dinners. What do you call those hot dinners that everybody brings a dish? Dish the past things? Yeah, it was all ziti. It was ziti. Meatballs, sausage. And we're in a multicultural neighborhood. I said, no more ziti. Collard greens, red velvet cake, chicken. We're going to make it happen here, you know. But I don't like that. I don't ever eat that. Well, listen, if I'm the father and I have adopted children from China or from Mexico, I bring them in with the heart of the father, and I sit them at my table, and my two kids say, we're not eating rice. Why? I want my macaroni and meatballs. I say to them, listen, this is your brother now. He's not used to eating macaroni and meatballs. Let's be a family and eat rice for a while. Make him feel comfortable so that your brother feels... Yeah, but I'm not going to sleep with him in the same room. Oh, yes, you are. That's your brother. It's your brother. That's what Pastor Tony goes around doing. Whoa, 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 what are you talking about? That's your brother. Oh, I'm for my brother. Yeah, but when you get real close, you got problems. You see, to meld the heart of the Father who came to bring life so that we're prepared for heaven. You're prepared for heaven. I have a black worship leader. He cries, he looks out, he says, it's like heaven. The multi-dimensional. And it's because we have to break down the dividing walls in our minds, in our hearts, before we can be effective. The heat of the city. Are you with me this morning? You understand what I'm saying? Repair of the streets in which we live. And he will give us strength to his people and bless his people with peace. How about the heat of the moment? The heat of the moment. Numbers 14, verse 18 says, the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity, transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation upon the children. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Growing up in the Bronx, being of Italian background, having a mafia family, I didn't realize the anger that was inbred in me that I had to deal with when I became a Christian. I didn't recognize it until I got into the sanctuary, into the presence of the Lord, about my heritage, I love being Italian, I love my family, but, you know, I'm not passing on the wickedness of yesterday. And I shared with that you while the last time I was here. But anger was like, what the heck? Where did this come from? I mean, I was a boxer in the army because they said to me, either you go to the gym or the jail. What would you like? You know, I said, I'll go to the gym. And I became an army boxer. But it was because I had this anger in me that I don't know where it came from. And the Lord had to deal with me to correct my anger, this flash anger. And it was interesting. Susan and I came over to the Throgs Neck Bridge. And I always remember the Throgs Neck Bridge because I was saved. I was a Christian. And I was getting cleaned up. I didn't have it all together. And, you expect somebody to come into the church and they'd be like, you know, saved, you know, 15 years, but they come in and it's a slow progress of change. And I was changing, but the Lord really dealt with the heat of the moment at the toll booth on the Throgs Neck Bridge. I was driving to visit Susan, actually, in Long Island. She lived in Northport. She had no shoes. She'd go to the beach all the time. I was a city guy. Yeah. And I'm at the toll booth, being a new Christian, and I was daydreaming. Daydreaming good things, singing, praise the Lord, you know. And there were like three cars in front of me at the toll bridge. And in the daydreaming, two cars went through, and then the third car went through, and then the guy behind me beeped his horn. Or should I say blared his horn. I mean, really beeped it. I felt it in the car. You know, I mean, it was that bad. And I went, oh, God, you know. And I went to look at him to say, I'm sorry. I can remember going, ah. And he waved something at me from his hand. Well, in an instant, so help me God, it was an instant, I grabbed the hold of my door like this. I was going to open the door like that, go get the guy. If the window was open this much, I would have pulled him out through the window in an instant. I mean, I was going like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And God spoke to me in an instant. In the heat of the moment, he said, no, 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 no. And I said, not now, not now. No, no, no. Bless those that persecute you. Pray for them that despise. Not now. Oh, God, I'm talking about in an instant. prayed for them, blessed them. Oh, God, in an instant, I drove to the toll booth. I paid for me, and I paid for the guy behind me. He got up there, and I went slow. And I saw him go. I went slow. He tried to catch me all across the frog's neck, and I went straight, and he went to the cross island and went, beep, beep. And God said, that's the way you win. That's the way you win. It changed my whole entire life. I mean, anger, it became something manageable. Became something that I could deal with in the heat of the moment, you know, when moments like that come up. It's a good emotion, anger, I mean, but it can't become sin. When it's out of control, when you lose control. David, who was attacked by Saul to the place where he was going to be killed, had an opportunity. Abishai, his faithful servant, said, take the man, take him. He's easy prey. David said, I won't touch him. I won't touch, you know, just get his sword from him but don't touch him. He was in control. Paul in the prison cell, when he's in a dark dungeon with rats and chained up, and he gets freed, and the man comes back who's in the garden. The guy says, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul winds up witnessing to the guy's family, and everybody gets saved in the heat of the moment. Jesus, our Lord, pierced, nailed, crowned, spit at, mocked, abused. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You got to be kidding me. This is the kind of man he's... Don't you want to rock some people's boat, Lord? Don't you want to... Forgive them. In the heat of the moment, we need to put on the sunscreen of the presence of God. We can't allow ourselves to be out of control. We need to be in control by the Spirit of God. The heat of the moment. God's challenging me to see things in the world differently as we enter into the heat wave of the times, earthquakes and storms of every which way, and pain and heartache, to try and figure things out, to try and go through the loss of life and the relationships and jobs and the pain, and there's a heat wave going on. It's intense out there. And how do you manage it? How can we see what God sees? How do we allow ourselves the mind of Christ? I was in Florida, standing at the Gulf, looking out, and the water was clean. There was no oil, but I knew the oil was out there, and I was just thinking about it. And I said, Lord, this dark stuff is coming out of the belly of the earth. It's polluting everything. It's terrible. It's destroying that which is beautiful. And the Lord started speaking to me. It was like the sin of the world. And that he wanted to pour out, he wanted to pour out an oil that was pure upon every man, upon every woman. The Holy Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. That the oil, that not the negative of it, but there was a powerful flow of God's holy anointing upon his people, that his people would be able to go through the heat wave, go through the perilous times, the difficult times, under the anointing of God, holding on to the cross of Christ, even though you got splinters in your mouth, even though you're spitting them out, even though it stinks. This is tough. But not letting go of his presence, not giving up on him, oh, the going gets rough. Hey, the going does get rough. These are difficult times, challenging times. But we need to walk with the mindset of Christ where we have eternity on our eyelids. I think it was Ravenhill that spoke that we'd have eternity on our eyelids, that we would never lose sight of eternity. It's not the temporary. It's not the season, the weather. Lord, what is it about people? We're going through a lot of people questioning, a lot of people, you know, going through difficult times. He's the answer. Put on sunscreen. Get to know the presence of God. In the worst of situations, when people have the presence of God, there's something truly amazing. I mean, if you go on missions trips, which you should, and you go and you visit third world nations and you see people who love Christ sitting in their huts, happy, with nothing, it's just like blows you away. The presence of God. And then you look around, there's a lot of sad people all around them. The presence of God, capable of carrying you through the heat waves. In Matthew 24, verse 6, it says, you will be hearing of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. God says in Luke 12:20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? You know, I want to give my kids an inheritance. You know, hopefully there's something left. If being in ministry, it's never been exorbitant of anything. But what I'm looking to deposit more than an inheritance is the inheritance of Christ, the richness of God, the importance of having God in their lives. So we want to be that. We don't want to major in the temporary. We want to major in the eternal. And that's when you see things God's way. And that you can learn how to stay cool within the framework of air, the air conditioned by the Spirit. Where you go near the water, but even better, you get in the water. You get into the presence of the Lord. You know, it speaks in Ezekiel that the water came to the ankles and the knees and then the loins. You know, once you're in, and the loins are in, you're in. You pretty much know you're in. And that's the belt of truth. That's where truth, you know you're in. You know, get in the presence of the Lord. Some of you are like tiptoeing in the water, you know, putting your toe in the water. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian, you know. Get in the water, will you? Get in the water. And then you just sit and get the current of the Spirit of God. You lay back like a lazy river. It just moves on God. And all the garbage is hooked up onto the sides of the river. And they're crying out, hey, help me. Well, get into the middle of the river. Stop playing. The intensity of the heat is getting more and more intense. I don't know if it's my age or what, but hot is hotter. You don't understand that, do you? It's not too bad. It's not too hot. It's hot for Pastor Tony right now. It's very, 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 very hot. When I was a kid, it didn't bother me at all. Now, I was in the office 20 minutes. I was this is ridiculous. When I was your age, I was on the fire escape. Give me more watermelon. Mom, you know. But it gets hot. And when you get older, it seems like everything is getting hotter. There's a heat wave. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, allow me to see things the way you do in the middle of the heat wave. Don't let me lose perspective and get caught up with all the mountains. Let me stay cool. We want to be able to understand the heat of the city, the heat of the moment, the heat wave, and hopefully come to that place where we never have to engage ourselves in the heat of hell. We never want to go to that place. We never want to allow ourselves to get so over the top by the heat that we fall prey to and lose ourselves. There are so many people that are heading that way. And you are the answer. You are the answer to speak to them, not to be weird, fruity, flaky, nutty. Be excellent in the way you carry on. Loving one another, loving your friends, loving your family, letting people see the excellence of your life in the heat of the moment. They'll watch you in the heat of the moment. Teach your kids how to go through the heat of the moment. If it's getting hotter, one day when they reach your age, it'll be hotter. If they never see you deal with the heat and understand the heat of the moment and deal with the heat of the city and deal with the heat wave of the times, they're not prepared. Prepare them by allowing them to see how you dealt with it. The book of Luke, chapter 16, an interesting story about the place called hell. Maybe we could glean something this morning. 16, verse 20. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man. He habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. A certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Came about that the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. In hell, he saw heaven. That's got to be one torment, man, what a gap in between. And the gap is your will. You're making choices today by your will that hinge your destiny. You're either there or where are you? You know, how foolish. Just by your will, learning and moving into the excellencies of God. Lazarus sees the poor man in the bosom of Abraham. He's in the middle of God's will. He cries out and says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. For I am in the agony in this flame. I'm in the heat of all heats. Send that boy down and have him just put," you know, he still had the mentality of, "Send that servant boy here." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he's being comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed. It's fixed. In order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able and that none may cross over from there to us." It's done. It's a done deal. This heat is a done deal. He said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." But he said, No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." They need a big miracle. You know, not a simple request to love Jesus. A big miracle. He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." They ain't going to change for some miracle. They might get goosebumps from the miracle, but they're going to change their hearts. Their hearts won't change. How concerned to reach out. Reach out to my brothers. He says, if they don't listen to the Moses and the prophets, the people who are speaking, they don't listen, they're not listening to you. You know, miracles come and miracles go and people don't get, their lives don't change. You know, they get talked out of it. It's like, "Oh, that wasn't really a miracle. That was like circumstances, you know, fell into place. It just happened to be the right time, right there." Wait a second. It was a miracle. But they get, you know, they get, the birds come and eat it, you know. We want to be in tune. We want to be able to reach out now to your brothers and sisters. Reach out now to your community. Reach out to the people you love. Being a witness for Christ, sometimes it's so hard. You're in the midst of non-believers, but you try to be a witness. Try to be a real guy, a real woman, godly people. You know, and they don't hear. It's so sad. It's so sad. When given opportunity, try to present the gospel in a way where you're not preachy or, you know, you speak about the excellence of God, the beauty of God. Take weirdness out of holiness. Make it excellent. There's so many around us that are heading toward this place of torment. And now's our time. Now's your time to reach them. You know, now's the challenge for us so that they don't wind up in this place of heat, this place of torment. We don't want them to burn. Put on the sunscreen so that you can deal with the attitude of the city, that you get a different mentality, so you get ready for heaven, that you experience diversity, that you challenge. I tell my people all the time, we're not there yet in being diversity. Just because we have a multicultural church, hey, we're a multicultural people. No, it isn't. No, until you love them like your own, that's when it becomes real. Well, give me no fake church, fake religion stuff. When they're eating at your home, when you know their families, when you know their names, that's when it starts to be real. Because that's what heaven's all about. It's going to be that. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people group in love with the Master. So we need opportunities to cross over. We need opportunities to see the heart of God bring in and be challenged by it. How does that happen? You need to reach out beyond yourself. I don't want to reach out. Well, that's the problem. Why? It's humanity. The heat of the moment, being captured by God, staying cool even though, and looking for God's way. Man, the enemy flips out when you do that. He flips out. You know, I could see the enemy at the car door going, "Come on, Tony, get out and, you know, get him, go get him, come on." And then he's going, "What are you doing? The situation, I didn't make this guy do that so you could bless him." It's okay, I'm going to bless him. "No, don't do that." You know, he freaks out. You turn everything on him. Becomes a torment to him because of your obedience to Christ in the heat of the moment. Heat of the moment. Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your head. The heat wave. The world's, it's an intense place to bring a godly perspective. To understand how people think, because they don't see. They haven't been in a sanctuary of God. They're not like David, who said, "When I pondered this thing, I couldn't understand it until I came into the presence of God." I don't know about you, but when I'm worshiping the Lord, I see things differently. Is this the only place you do that on Sunday morning? Or do you have Christian music on? I mean, guys. I mean, I know guys. I mean, do you get a song in your heart and let it just hook you in Christ?
"Yeah, I'm not a singer. I'm a truck driver."
What? Pal, get a song in your heart. And be a witness for Christ in a time when the heat is heating up for the lost and they're going to a greater place of heat. Unless they be saved. I want to give opportunity for us to come into the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes anger in a person's life is unresolved grief. It's unresolved grief. It's you've lost someplace. You've been hurt somewhere. And we stuff it. We hide it. We we don't deal with it, and you don't realize that you're angry because of unresolved grief. You know, you could deal with, even dealing with the issue sometimes doesn't take away the grief. Even though you forgave somebody. You know, I forgave them, Pastor. But you're still angry. That anger melts away the more you get into the presence of the Lord. The Lord will melt away that part of your being that is so intensely hot. The presence of the Lord, the more you enter into it, the more you could walk your dog and find God in the beauty of a flower. You recognize the presence of God. The way you come home and your children are a blessing to you, or your wife, or your friends, or you have a job, or there's so many things you could find. Thank God that my body worked this morning. You know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. You know, thank you. I mean, there's so many beautiful things that you can say thank you for and recognize you're here. You know, that there are not days and weeks where you don't recognize the prayer. I'm too busy. Slow down. Get cool. Get in the water of his presence. And be an example in the heat of these times. Is that okay? So I'm gonna ask Andy to come up, and then I'm gonna come up, and we're gonna have just a worship song. And I just want you to practice the presence of the moment. Maybe you have anger in your heart. Maybe the intensity of heat has gotten to you. Get into the presence of the Lord, guys. We're so uniquely made by God, but we're made in His image. Get into the presence of the Lord and just worship Him. Just yield yourself. The ladies, they're so beautiful. It seems so, they're more open to that emotional moment. We could experience that. Well, you're German. I know you're German, and that's not okay. You're a Christian German. German is a Christian. I'm an Italian. I don't take you outside and whack you. I love you. You know what I mean? I'm Italian. You know, but we'll end with just a worship song in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Thank you.